You know, something I'm thinking of right now is we all need to sit down and ask ourselves, what is the gift that I am most excited by? That's a very, very good, important question for you to ask yourself,
Sure.
because I say that because that's it makes it easier for you to identify whether you are part of the problem of placing people on a
I
pedestal,
see you.
right? There are those to whom prophesying,
Does nothing.
meh, right? Granted, more often than not, you'll find a lot of people are generally excited by a particular gift.
Yes.
Generally, you'll find people are excited by healing, by, you know, that I
Miracles.
want to see something.
I
Yeah, I
wanted
want to
to.
see something. Don't give me these boring ones. You know, they're generally, right? But we need to have that either way. You need to have that conversation with yourself as to what is the gift that when I see it and I see a person do it, like I get excited. I'm over the moon and I'm like, you can do this. Singing is one of those where we place singers that we love on a
The
huge
highest
pedestal,
pedestal.
right? Like on a very, very high pedestal. Like if singers wanted, just that a lot of them aren't interested in churches, but singing alone,
Sure.
you can just bring people to your church, Jay,
Listen.
right? And this is, it's very important for us as individuals to be like, you know what? I know I like this. Therefore, I need to have a conversation with myself about how am I contributing to this being placed on a pedestal and not looking at it as thank you, God, that we have this in our church.
Yes, and
You
also
know?
putting safeguards so that you
Exactly.
don't idolize those things. You're like, okay, cool. I know that healings and miracles makes my brain explode. So in order to make myself safe and not to chase after these things, because I think that's the problem. You want to chase after the things that excite you, and then you
Yes.
find crazy people on the way,
Exactly.
which I love
Exactly.
the way that you brought that part about the Corinthians and Paul. I think that's so good. So you have people who are, and I think that's a segue, but I think when you put rail guards on yourself, you know, okay, these are my boundaries. I know this thing excites me a lot.
Yes.
Therefore, when I do find a person who is operating in this or come across them, I need to be super aware. I need to really sit there and allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me and say, okay, cool, this person is safe, this person is not safe, this is a wolf, this is a this.
This is where they
Exactly.
lack.
This is where, like, this is where you're gonna go into idolatry. So don't listen to this person. You need to stop. You're being
Yes.
obsessive. You
Yes.
know, having those, I love the fact that, you know, you can analyze your psychology and then just make structures to keep yourself safe, if
Yes.
that makes
Yeah,
sense.
totally, totally makes sense. So I wanted to read this, ne? Thing is, it's literally all good, so I'm going to quickly read through it. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in meekness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech, and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 to 5.
That is stunning.
Right? Right?
That your faith is not in the wisdom of
Of
man,
man.
but in the power of God.
Exactly. In the power of God. So that, like for Paul to even describe himself as a person who was, I wasn't good with this, I wasn't good with that, I wasn't good with this. Literally, the people that we follow are the people that are able to, not to say that those people are wrong. You can't help it if you're just eloquent. Right, in speaking. The point is, when you're eloquent in speaking and you're seeing that people are following you for that, it is now your responsibility to ground yourself, right? And remind them, good yay.
This is a power of God.
Exactly.
And I think that also really speaks to, you know, to the people who do have massive platforms, you know.
I was thinking exactly the same
Like,
thing.
we need to be mindful, not me saying we, like I have a massive platform.
Anyway. Yeah.
But the people with platform, people who are looking up to you, you have people looking up to you, you need to be so grounded. I think it's so easy for us to form an ego around something that you weren't even given. And I love the fact that Paul mentions that. Like, it's the power of God. It's the power of God.
Yes.
It's the power of God.
Yes,
so it's
yes.
a constant reminder that it's not me. It has nothing to do with me. I am just a vessel through which the power of God is flowing.
Exactly.
And I think the one thing that I would like to stress, because I'm hoping that the people listening here are also going to be leaders in the church, young leaders in the making.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I think is really important is that aspect of holiness and character, because that will ground you.
Yes.
Having the ability to say no to the things that you have access to. You know, it's almost like the conversation we had about with the men, the manhood conversation, that because you have a certain level of rapport, you have access to a lot of women.
Okay, yes,
it's
I get you.
It's the same thing in like ministry, whether you're a female or you're a male. Because you are so visible, you have access to do a lot of things.
Exactly.
And people might even excuse it for the fact that your gift is operating.
Yes.
And
yes.
that ability is what you need to safeguard against. You know, it's like, I feel like the people who are in ministry have to do two steps before it's a problem.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay, cool. I understand why a lot of ministers don't drink.
Because
I'm like, problem.
Exactly.
If you go too far,
exactly.
It's a problem.
Exactly.
So it's like almost like you have to pull back and consecrate yourself even more than is required.
I understand, you know? Exactly what you mean. Can I just mention this quickly?
Yes.
I really do honestly believe it should become common practice for a minister to have a team of people that are responsible for keeping them
accountable. It's true.
Yes. Like, that's honestly true. People that you, as, because you can't do this with everyone when you're a minister, people that you can go to and be like, listen, I'm just literally pouring myself here. I'm feeling weak in this department.
Yes.
Right? I need prayer and I need whatever it may be, but you need people who will keep you accountable, who surround yourself with no men. If you get what I mean.
What?
There's yes men.
Okay.
Surrounding yourself with yes men. Surround yourself with no men.
Yes.
As well. People will tell you no, you shouldn't and can't do that. You understand what I mean?
Because that's a danger.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly what the danger is. When you have that much power, who's going to tell me no?
Exactly.
But you need to have people who you not only will tell you no, but people that you will respect. People that you will also be like, I will actually get in trouble. Like, there's a threat. Does that make sense?
Completely. Yes. Yeah,
like, there's
completely.
A threat behind this person's voice when he says, stop doing that. When my mom says, don't do that, I'm hella scared.
Exactly.
So I'm not going to do that.
Exactly.
We need those people.
Stopped. Okay, both of them did.
Okay, cool. So we need those people around us. And I think, you know, it's one thing to say it for the ministers, and I absolutely agree with you. They, even more than the average person, need to have a team of accountability around them. But I think it also rings true for us as people, right?
Yes, I understand what you mean.
In the body of Christ, not holding a title or anything, we also need accountability.
Yes.
You know, I also had this thought the other day. There's a scripture that says that kings will come to the brightness of your rising. And I think the thing of having kings come to your rising, and you know, you're rising in your gift, you're exercising your gift, you're doing the things, you stand out in the world. You become a source of light. And I think the one thing that we need to be careful of is associating that they're coming for you and not the light that God has put in you.
In you, yes.
It's very easy to become arrogant in those spaces. And I think that's one thing that we should be mindful of when we're learning about our gifts, not to become arrogant or prideful.
Yes.
No, it's not prideful, it's proud. proud.
Proud,
don't
yes,
become
yeah.
proud
yeah.
in the gift that God has given you. Again, knowing that God gave you the gift. It's not of your own strength. It is God's gift to you. You didn't have to pay for it. He gave it to you. Yeah.
That's a very difficult thing to remember. Definitely don't want to talk about or treat it as though it's the easiest thing to do. Mm. The beauty of it, though, is the more you walk in that mind frame, and the more time you spend in it, the easier it becomes. Mm. So it's much like going to gym. The more you do it, the more you exercise, the more you jog, the more you, I mean, whatever it is, the beauty of how God designed and created us is the deeper we go into that thing, the harder it is for us to actually walk the opposite direction.
That's so true.
Right, exactly. Because now there are just so many things anchoring you in, including just how your brain is wired, how you're thinking, the reputation you've built with the people around you. There's a lot of things that are keeping you from. And not to mention like one of the most powerful habits.
Yeah.
One of the most powerful things that just keep you moving in one direction. Mm. You're used to getting up in the morning and going to work. It's habit, yes. right? And it becomes weird when you don't.
Yes.
Exactly.
So on your holiday, you're going to wake up at...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly. So those are things that we should at the very least have hope of the... Or hope and anticipation. Mm. That, you know what? I feel like I might be far from there now. But the more I get into it, the easier it will become to walk in this and the harder it will be to go back to where I was.
That's true.
Basically, yeah.
That's true. I think I just want to emphasize this last like little sharing.
Yeah.
Still from 1 Corinthians. Yo, we've been in Corinthians.
Right?
1 Corinthians chapter 12, and it's from verse 4. It says, there are different kinds of gift, but they are all given to believers by the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but they all come from the same Lord. There are different ways the Spirit works, but the same God is working in all these ways and in all people.
Mm.
And I really just love that because the specific verse that I really love is there are different ways to serve, but they all come from the same Lord.
Same, exactly.
And I think that's one of the ways that we can stay humble and not become so proud in our gifts is knowing what the gifts is for. It's to serve.
Exactly.
The gifts offer service, you know. And when you have that posture of serving, it's very difficult, especially if you've taken it sincerely.
Mm.
Because there's ways that we can serve that's not service.
Yes.
We're just doing things to get noticed. But if you come with a servant's heart and you serve the body of Christ with your gifts, you serve the world with your gifts, you serve God with your gifts.
Yeah.
It becomes very difficult for you to take the glory of it.
Okay, I get you.
Because you're a servant.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you come in that capacity, it's like, it's not my house. I just clean here.
I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me, that is a very beautiful thing that you've just brought up now. Like having your mind set on your why.
Mm.
Like really grounding your mind in your why and constantly reminding yourself of your why.
Yes.
Like if you have to be ridiculous, just be ridiculous. I was thinking of the idea of build, because you know how churches nowadays are built as, or right now, that it's just the church building and we do everything there.
Yes.
Most churches, that's how they function.
Yes.
Then you do get a few that are campuses.
Yes.
Right? Where it's a huge campus. So I was thinking in my head, like, I love the concept of a campus because a campus, not that the ones that exist now function that way, a campus is able to serve the community.
Mm.
So I've been really buying into this idea of not just having a church, an empty church building where everything happens there. We have men's service, women's service, we have
cell group,
literally everything happens in that space. How about the church starts to serve the community? How about we have an education center?
Sure.
right, where there are computers and kids can come and do their homework, aftercare centers, where instead of being home or going to do some stuff, they come to church and they have people that do tutoring classes within the church. Yeah. There's many other counseling. I mean, even having a gym, why not?
Why not?
Right?
Why not?
Why not, right? So I've started thinking of now churches being like campuses that serve the community in a responsible manner.
Yes.
So, and then it came to my head, like, wouldn't having that big or successful of a ministry give you a big head? And then exactly what you're saying right now came into my head, that if you constantly remind yourself of why you're doing it, to serve the public and stay in that mind frame, it'll definitely keep you humble.
Yeah.
Mm.
That is a discipline.
Right?
Guys, this was such a good conversation.
Definitely.
I think I can't think of anything else.
I think we've absolutely exhausted
this topic. And, you know, I just want to emphasize a few things. Number one, God has given you a gift too. So don't hide in the shadows and bury that gift. I'm thinking of the parable of the talents.
Yes.
Where you took the gift, the talent, and you put it and hid it underground. And then when God comes back to get back what is his that he gave you to use, that you're busy saying like, oh, I was too scared to use it. I don't want it to lose it. So like I just buried it.
Yeah.
But rather multiply it. Let it be a gift of service unto the body of Christ. Let it be a gift of service unto the community. And remember to stay humble. Make sure that your character's in check. Make sure that you also spend time with God intimately and not rely on the gift to do the things and forget about the one who gave you the gift in the first place. I feel like there's a lot to be gleaned. And I just also want to encourage everyone to go and find out what your gifts are. Go get into this word. Find out what this is for yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you not only what is your gift, but why he gave it to you in the first place, how he wants you to function in it. And pray for your leaders. Pray for the ones who have been put on a platform, who are the fivefold ministry and are the ones who are leading you in this place. Make sure that you keep them in prayer. Help them stay in the place where they're close to God and that, you know, they're not falling for any temptations that the devil wants to put around them for them to fall, because they're important. They are essential for our community. They are helping us to be equipped to do the work of the ministry.